Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we're like stones in the body of Christ and that Jesus is the head of the corner. Therefore, Father, we can build straight up to you and to one another. Thank you, Father, for the angels that encamp round about us, the ministers of the heirs of salvation to the saved and the unsaved. Thank you, Lord, for the engrafted word, for the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Thank you, Father, for the price that was paid for our redemption, the blood of Jesus. Your word shed the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We're so grateful, Father, that that life that is in you and that was manifested in the flesh in Jesus, because we have trusted in your operation, that life is now resident within us. Thank you, Father, that you did not leave us to be raised again by the flesh, but you left a parent in the Holy Spirit, that we should be raised in the likeness of our Redeemer and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the good ground of our born-again spirit, because now the Holy Spirit has something to work with, and the people of God say, amen. This morning, I'm going to deal with an issue that is close to me and probably is close to every human being. And it is the frustration that many of us go when we are trusting the Lord and nothing seems to happen. We have heard things about God. We know things about God. We confess things about God. We do everything that is right and still nothing happens. I've seen people lose their marbles, like they say, you know, in lines, in airports, in the freeway, in the post office. And the person that seemed to be so calm all of a sudden exploded into another person. People become so frustrated with the circumstances that some of them sometimes go to the extreme to take their own lives. I've seen that. Others just get so frustrated that they're paralyzed. They're not able to do anything, because they don't know how to respond to the circumstances of life. But we know, as believers, that there's ways to respond to life. Some of us, we don't just put it to practice. You know, we make the devil the culprit for a lot of things. But I tell you one thing, he's not the culprit of the major culprit of what happens in our life. I mean, he's the author of all the mess that is going in the world. But personally, we're responsible for the things to go in our lives. Amen? Yep. Now, discouragement comes to every one of us in different forms. People discourage us, circumstances discourage us, sometimes the neighbors discourage us, sometimes things that we do daily discourage us. Sometimes we are discouraged because of ourselves, because we don't have enough education, because things are not going the way we want, and we get frustrated. You know, I thank God for a lot of things, and one of them, or one of the two that I thank God, is that when He called me into His kingdom, He didn't ask for a pedigree. He didn't care about my background, you know, what my family name. And he didn't care about degrees. Right. So he did not make a background check when he called me into the ministry. And he didn't call you and to make a background check when he called you into his body. That's right. Amen? So that is good. I'm glad about that, because in all places that I go, you need qualifications. The only qualifications to enter into this kingdom is to be full and abased. There goes my hand. Amen. Right there. Amen. So we're going to see a little bit in the Bible how some people respond to that and what answers in the time that I have allotted this morning, how far we can go. Amen. Amen. In the life of Moses, the Bible says that he was the meekest man over this planet, which is very humbling, when he himself had to write the book by obeying the Lord to put it down. Because humility, true humility, my definition, I believe I agree with what the Holy Spirit had to say in the Bible, is total surrender of your will to the will of another and perform it. Amen? That's true humility. Sometimes we go before God with this, you know, I'm a worm, I'm this and that, as if we, through saying that, we get some sympathy with the Lord. The Lord's not going to give us no sympathy. I'll tell you from now. I remember, and I shared this with you last time, I think, when I came from Q a couple of years back, I came so frustrated because I began to see the magnitude of the system that I was dealing with in Cuba. And I told the Lord, Lord, I feel like I am trying to chip an iceberg with a toothpick. And I was there trying to find some sympathy. How many have been with the Lord, you know, trying to find some sympathy from Him? You expecting to put His arm around you and say, come over here, son, and give you some explanations. Right. But you know what He said to me? He said, somebody's got to do it. Well, thanks a lot. Because now I'm enlightened. Amen? Is it good to be enlightened? Yeah. Because God did not, you know, throw any low punches and give us anything as if anything is going to take over Supra. He said it very clearly. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But the good side of it is that he said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome what you're going to face. Amen? Now, in Psalm 34, I believe it is, it says, many are the afflictions. I wish you could say, few, now and then, are the affliction of the righteous. But it doesn't say, it says many. But it also says another thing. But the Lord delivers him of them all. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. You can give him praise. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Now, we see Moses had to deal with a lot of people that the Bible called stiff-necked. Because God complained to them, you give me your back and not the face. They refused to turn to face him. They thought they could obey everything, but they didn't. Now, when they were going into the promised land, God was not happy with them. Why? Because there were people that were discouraging others from receiving and performing the promises of God. And we find only two people encouraging themselves in the Lord, believing the promises of God. And God was mad and Moses was mad. As a matter of fact, the discouragement that they brought to the people caused Moses to disobey the Lord to the point that it prevented him to enter into the promised land. And God told him, now you're going to take Joshua, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to encourage him. You're going to build them up. You're going to put a vision in him, because Joshua is going to cause the people to inherit.
Right.
But you're disobedient. Why? Because he got frustrated. People, you can get so frustrated. You have a promise, and all of a sudden, you know, your temper is just got blown out of your proportions, and there goes the promise of God.
Yeah.
And yet you have the promise, and yet it doesn't come to you. Why? Because you blew it right there. Because some promises you carry a window of opportunity. They're not, some promises you can follow in time, but others you can't. You have to seize the timing. Amen? Once it's gone, it's gone. Amen? Now, let's look for a second here in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a member of this church. Pastor Cook and Pastor Jan, they're my spiritual fathers. I've been in this church for about 24 years.
Yep.
Or so. Verse 1. And the children of Israel, Judges 6, chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. That means that the Lord released himself to take it from taking care of them. So these enemies were going to deal with them. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroy the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, remember, Israel is a people that is blessed. They had the promises that were made to Abraham. They are blessed, whether they're receiving the promises or not, they are blessed by the Lord. And we know by the scripture that once the Lord gives a blessing, he does not take it back. It's up to us to receive it, amen, and to enforce the will of heaven on this planet. Can I hear an amen? Now, he says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out of before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Here's the point. You have not obeyed my voice. This is the thing that is preventing. Amen. There's a mystery in obedience. I'm going to share later if I got time about obedience. And there came an angel, verse 11, of the Lord and sat under a rock which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abishrite. I'm reading a little fast because I tried to go through a lot of terrain here. Take a note and go over it later. Verse 9. And verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, to Gideon, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracle which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. Here is Gideon. He had heard a lot of things which he personally believed. He said, wait a minute, you said that the Lord is with us? The Lord is with us? I mean, we've been coming to this church for 50 years and we haven't seen a bit or nothing, you know, that the Bible speaks about. What are the miracles? And what are the things that the Lord said that He will do? If the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what are the miracles? I mean, the last period in the book of chapters is not closed, then what are the miracles? What are they? It becomes sometimes frustrating because, you know, people go from one church to the other looking for something and they don't know that what they're looking for, if they're born again, is in the inside of them. So you can imagine that the boy is very frustrated. He had to hide the crops from these people that come to spoil them. They say, why is it that we're getting spoiled? How come? What, if the Lord did such mighty things, how come He's not doing it right now? If the Lord is with us.
Right.
Amen. I know that only happened to backslidden Puerto Ricans. No, whatever is flesh, you become frustrated because you hear a lot of things, and then somebody come and pray for you, and nothing happens. How do we deal with that? Now, you can read the rest of the chapter, but in actuality, he realizes that God is with him. Amen? That he has a clean slate with the Lord, that he can start a new thing with the Lord in his life. Amen? He put the thing to the test.
Yep.
And he feared the Lord, and it caused him to obey. Now, let's go to the book of, praise be to God. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 7. Let's go over there for a second. Let's see another man responding to the, you know, hindrances of life, to the frustrations of life, and how he responds to that.
Amen.
Am I still speaking English?
Yep.
Oh, okay, it's good to know. There was a time in this church nobody understood what I was saying. Believe it or not. They try hard. Verse 11. And it came to pass the day, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city of Nain, speaking about Jesus, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier of the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. Have you noticed in the Bible? I noticed this in the Bible. You know that the Lord's prayers are very short. Yeah, I remember, you know, I led intercessory prayer in this church for 11 years, frustrated, not wanting to do it, just because I was led there. And I tried to imitate people because they made this long prayer, they shouted, they screamed, they do all kinds of things. And I could never match up, you know, what they were doing. Until I was gone and I began to read this. The Lord is not complicated. He is simple. He gives the commandment and that's it. Praise be to God. Just a little parenthesis there. Verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. and he delivered him to his mother. Now, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified the Lord, saying, that a great prophet is risen among us, that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John the Baptist, show him all the things. Now, let me say something about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison, and he is about to have his head chopped up. Not a very pleasant place to be. Now, look at this. And John, verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? What a question is this? Yeah. He sounds much like his father. Remember? Yeah. That God had to shut up his mouth because he was a very prolific babbler. Look at this. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has, verse 20, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, let me explain something here. The statement of John the Baptist is not a statement of unbelief. He said, are you the one that should come, or we're going to look for another? Sound like unbelief, right? Isn't it? Sound like unbelief or doubt, right? Now, remember, John the Baptist, actually, we're asking, go ask my cousin if he's the right guy. I mean, he grew up next to him. He knew everything about it. He was given the commandment of preparing the way of the Lord. And that's all been all his life. I mean, he went to the back of the desert to eat locusts, dressed with camel's hair, you know, attire and everything. And now he is in prison about to lose his life. And he wants to know. Remember, this is the same person that when he saw Jesus coming to the Jordan River, said, he comes, the Lamb of God that taketh away, what? The sins of the world. Whose latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to tie. And now, when he comes to him in the river, he says, you should be doing this to me? And the Lord had to tell him, bear with it, because we need to think, you do the things, you know, that I commanded in the law, or so. Amen? So, John the Baptist had very clear, but you know how many of you, that in a moment of frustration, in a moment that you don't see nothing happens, that you wonder what's going on, you said, go ask my cousin if he's the one, or I should look for another. Now, you might think this is a statement of faith, but it's not. Let me put it, Puerto Rican translation. Go ask my cousin if he's the one. Or should we look for another? Because if he's not the one, I cannot die right now. Because I'm still fulfilling the Lord's commandment. I still have a promise from God to prepare the way of the Lord. I cannot die now. That's right. At this time, in this season. Because if it's not, I still must prepare the way of the Lord. I mean, he lived all his life obeying just that commandment. Can I hear an amen? So it's not just a thing of unbelief. But there's a little bit of frustration there. Do you remember Mary? When she said, you know, you're gonna have a son. He said, how can it be? You know, since I have no man. It was not a matter of unbelief. But then she conceded that what? Let it be done unto me according to the word of the Lord. Why? Because no word of God is void of any power to do what he says to do, even though I don't have a husband. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this. And like Jesus always does, you know, he just turn around and begin to do other things. And at the same hour, he cured many. Verse 21. Of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirit, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering, after all this, he did all these things, now he answers. There's nothing better, you know, much better like a visual. Let me give them a visual and then I'll explain. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go tell John he doesn't have to stumble in my walk. Because I'm fulfilling my part. Telling he needs to finish his part. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And you know, the Lord gave me all this scripture because a few months back, here is my flesh talking to me. Here is the circumstances talking to me. Here is the devil shouting to me. You have wasted your time serving the Lord. You spent all these years for naught. Look at you. Look at your family. Look what you've been doing. And I mean, it was on and on and on. And you know, when I don't know what to do, I just don't blow it. I just go on and put myself in private and I let the Lord speak to me. Because I know whatever my flesh says is nonsense. Whatever the circumstances says is nonsense. Whatever the devil says is nonsense. You know why? Because the witness of God is greater than the witness of my flesh. Is greater than the witness of my circumstances. And is greater than the witness of the devil. See, I at least that little I learned from you guys. Amen. I mean, you gotta have some, you know, common sense. Amen. It's like Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. I mean, he got all these armies coming against him, and he admitted, we have no might, and we have no strength to face these people. But one thing I do, just like Paul said, you know, you have 20 things to do, do only one. Pastor said to him many times, when you have to deal with issues in your life, don't take everything at one time, take one or two, and deal with them. And he says, Jehoshaphat said, but my eyes are on the Lord. My eyes are upon the Lord. You can lose sight of a lot of things in life, of your job, of your marriage, of their city. But one thing you must never ever do is to lose sight of who your deliverer is. Amen. You remember Job? Job went through a lot of stuff. But of all the things he concluded, I know one thing. What? My deliverer, my redeemer is alive. Amen. Because the circumstances, your flesh and the devil, they will like to kill your deliverer, your redeemer, in your understanding. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go now to Galatians chapter 6. Because I'm going to give you the things that the Lord gave me to encourage me. Because I'm certain that the same things can encourage me, can encourage anybody. Verse 1. Let me start with verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, deceiving himself. If a man think he is somebody, when he is nobody, he is deceiving himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall all the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall all the spirit reap life everlasting. I don't have time to explain all this. Pastor has been explaining this, you know, over and over. But listen. And let us not be weary in well-doing. This is the scripture the Lord gave me. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the word weary is very important because it means to be fainted-hearted, to be fatigued, to be exhausted. As a matter of fact, the ultimate root of the word goes back to a bow that had a string that is unloose. You know, a bow that had a string that is unloose is good for nothing. You can shoot no arrows. Amen. If it doesn't have the string tense, you know, tight, then you can do no good. And we become the same. Why? Remember, we are the arrows in the Lord's quiver. That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we become of no use if we are fatigued, if we are frustrated. And the Lord said, don't, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season. How many there is a due season? I've become to understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of God. Now, you can read the whole thing. He said, don't stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking for a job, when you're looking for a maid, when you're looking for ministry, it's interesting, you know, when I began to serve him by his word, I was not looking for ministry. My nature dictated what? To serve. Mango tree, give mango, Victor gave whatever I had to get. Amen. Then one day the Lord called me. And I knew in my heart. I shared that with Pastor. He said, well, that's good, Victor. Took a little while. But you know, in not ceasing of doing what the Lord called me to do, I found the purpose of my life.
Right.
Eh? I thought that my purpose in life was another. But listen, in Psalm 73, I believe it is. David begins to communicate. And is it David or Asa? One of the two. Anyway, let's go over there for a second. I'd like to quote this right. Psalm 73.
Mm-hmm.
Are you glad you came to church this morning?
Yeah.
Me too. Praise God. Yeah, it's a psalm of Asa. It's not David's psalm. But we ascribe to him everything. But he says, you know, that his feet almost slip away when he saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Right.
Here I am serving the Lord. Here I'm doing the things right. And everybody seems to pass me by. They get promoted in my job. I mean, they got better cars. I earn more money. They got better cars and they earn much less. And they seem to deliver from all the problems that we go through. But he concludes in verse 17, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood what? Their end. Why? Because in the sanctuary of the Lord, remember, that's what the Bible says in Psalm 133, is where the brother is supposed to be all in unity, where the Lord has commanded a blessing. That's where we hear what? The fresh bread that come down from heaven, that give us wisdom, that give us understanding, that give us knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Something we never see unless the blinder of our eyes are removed from them.
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, it speaks about what? That the God of this world have blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them.
Right.
So we become blind unless that blinders get removed. We need to understand that if we don't get anything else, if we don't get anything else, but we have Christ, we have gained everything.
Amen.
Did you know when we read Hebrews 11, speak about the heroes of faith, how they were, you know, how they conquered kingdoms, they did all these mighty things. But did you notice that some of them didn't get zipped? They died, they were cut asunder. And I was meditating about that. Because of all the hope that this had in this world, they were looking, they could choose hope. You can put a hope in your house, in your job and everything, but they choose a better hope. And that was eternal life. Through the Messiah that was to come, I can lose it all. Why? God is still faithful to you.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, that's amen. So that means if we lose everything, we still got it all.
Amen.
I like what the Lord told Abraham. To David too. I am your great exceeding reward.
Yes.
We're so used to this flesh that we like to be rewarded from man, you know, from circumstances, and that can happen. Amen. We should expect those things. But let it be our main priority that we seek the glory that only God can give.
Yeah.
Because that glory, no one can take away.
Sure.
No one. That is our expectation.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory be to Him and to Him alone. Okay. Let's go back here. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a season that we can harvest something.
Yes.
Amen? Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you see, you heard these things before, but not with my accent, which is good. You pay more attention. Verse 1. Chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor the bones how grow, in the womb or her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes it all. And you know, it tells us about sowing seed. Don't stop doing what is right.
Right.
There's some things that we need to do right. Let's keep doing the things. Amen. Why? Because it clouds our understanding, our vision, be looking for other things when we're doing one thing right. Amen. Why? God is not, you know, forgetful. Amen. One thing I can count with God that He's not going to forget right. Where I am. I remember when I used to work with the 3-year-olds with helping Ida. You are somewhere, Ida? You know, I was never a teacher. I just wanted to help. I didn't want to be a teacher. I just wanted to help. And I, when good speaker will come, everybody wanted to be in the service. It probably still happens, you know. But the Lord spoke to me saying, you know, Victor, you don't have to create, you know, desire that, because the anointing that is there at the pulpit will come down to visit you right here.
Yes. Amen.
So I did all that knowing that that was my part. I remember I was the assistant of Pastor Kylie. After I got, you know, booted out from teaching a Spanish Bible that didn't go anywhere. But I remained there by myself, just praying in tongues for 2 hours, faithful. But I remember the day he got ordained, the Lord said to me, when he get ordained, don't get jealous. Why? Because you are part of the body, he is part of the body. So get this clear, when he get acknowledged, you get acknowledged too. But that was something between me and the Lord in my heart.
Yes.
Why? I don't have to envy anything. The Lord does not forget. Amen. Amen. It was not going to be a cause of frustration for me. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, so he says, don't stop doing what you know to do right. You know, in bad times, it is very tempting to stop giving to the church. Why? Because 2 or 3 cats did the wrong thing with the money of the church. You're going to stop giving? Are you giving to the man or are you giving to the Lord? Let the Lord deal with the man. You keep giving to God. Amen. Even though you have to give to a man.
Amen.
Amen. Just want to say that. And by the way, I'm the treasurer of the church. I see what pastors don't want to see. And I ask questions. Praise be to God forevermore. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. God is good. Amen. Hebrews. Plenty of time. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You see, this speaks about a foundation. I thank God I received good foundation on all the things in this church. And they remain. You have to review from time to time, but remain a good foundation. And he says, and of the doctrine of baptism, and laying on my hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the Word of God, and the powers of the Word to come, if they shall fall away. And the premise here, if they shall fall away, people, and it is impossible? Can I hear an amen? Because what would be the reason to mature if I'm going to fall back into, you know, a rotten state? If they shall fall away, and it's impossible to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the air which drinketh the rain and cometh upon it, that cometh upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But he that beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, the picture here is that if you receive the word of God into your heart is good ground. Amen. Your heart is good ground. So if you receive that engrafted word, that implanted word, amen, what's going to happen? That if you are faithful, amen, upon that foundation that you have, you know what's going to happen? It's going to give you, amen, the tree, the plant, the herbs, amen, that is needed for your life. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Which means what? That if God is able to put His Word into our heart, the seed of His Word in our heart, you can read Isaiah 55, you know, about our ways not being His way and His thoughts. But what happens? That as the rain and the snow come down and return it not thither, but water is there. That means that if it found the seed of the Word of God there, guess what? It's going to grow. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. That means that when that tree, that plant is full grown in your heart, you don't have to see it, amen, to believe it. You believe it because it's in your heart. You can endure. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
When you mature to the fullness of the stature of Christ, there's nothing that can take you out. They will be dumb to mature. And that is not the case. The case is that if you go forth, you will mature and you will remain. Look at this. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget. I like that. You know, because all the time that I spend serving Him, He's not unrighteous to forget. Your work and labor of which are sure toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Amen. Now, this thing about patience is very important, because this is the endurance. And this is the thing that becomes somehow, what would be the word? All messed up. Our patience. In whatever it is that we believe in God. Even if we're not believing God. I've seen people very frustrated in a line in the airport. And there's go their patience, their endurance. Not even the ability to stand a line of two or three people. Just stand one behind the other. They just blow it. But you know, I remember here, Pastor used to make this diagram that faith is held by three poles, which is love, hope, and patience. Mm-hmm. The Lord gave me another image. The hub of a propeller, faith, with one blade, which is what? Patience. In the book of Luke 21:19, somewhere around there, 21:19, he says that in your patience you possess your soul. That means that my enduring in the circumstances allow me to possess or to gain my soul, so my soul does not become an enemy of me by causing me to be an independent spirit.
Right.
Now look at this. Also, the other side of the propeller is love. Now, faith worketh by love. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 5, around verse 6. What? Faith, and that is our nature. That means that out of our nature flows out this love. And the qualities of love, you can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, love never fails, believes all things, endures all things, it never fails. So it gives to every one of these attributes what? I call it the atomic reactor of our life. Eh? Love. Because from here, where everything that we are spawns, because from that very same nature is what everything God is spawns.
Right.
Glory be to God.
Yeah, right.
Now, the other one is hope. Here in this book it says, look at this. In verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Right.
That means if we're not able to endure, we're not going to inherit. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an heir of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, that means it doesn't change, of His promise, confirmed by an oath. I mean, how many of you know that the Word of God will be sufficient?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we never ascended up to heaven. He came down to us. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So with the word would have been enough, but you know the oath made him closer to Abraham. Abraham understood about oath.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
So his word would have been enough. And look at this: that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Why? Because hope gives what? Vision. It defogs our understanding. It unhinders the vision for the future. What lays ahead for us. Can I hear an amen? It does something very important. That the promises of God, like it says here, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation of encouragement or motivation. Amen. Through his promises we can be motivated. We can be encouraged. And it does something very important. You know what it does to my soul? It anchors it. Amen. That means that my endurance, what I say, it gains my souls. And the promises of God anchors it in a place in God that it cannot be moved. Amen. The only place it can go as it muscle, amen, by the liberty in which we stand in Christ, you know what it does? We can arrest that soul and anchor it. Amen. Anchor it. And begin to propel the whole thing with the nature that we have received from God. And you, beloved, Job 20, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. In that nature. Why? Remember what it says in First Peter chapter 5? It says that adversary, the devil, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour, who receives steadfast or firm in the faith. Why is that? Because faith has the ability to keep me in the realm of my true nature, which is joined to the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Right.
Why? Because the devil knows that if I face him according to the rules of game of heaven, not in his terms, I'm a winner and I'm more than a conqueror 100% of the time. But the minute I give a little bit of my flesh, he knows that in the realm of the flesh, he can defeat me 100% of the time. And I don't even know it. Totally deceived. So the Word of God is given to us. To have strong consolation.
Yeah.
To have encouragement. Amen. To have vision. Now let's go to the book of First Samuel chapter 3 here real quick. Are you understanding a little bit? Praise God. Now you know the story of David. He went frustrated with Saul that wanted to kill him. He went to the territory of the Philistines and he tried to serve the kings over there. Although the kings opposed him, they didn't let go in battle to him. They sent him back home. When he go back home to Ziklag, everything is ransacked. So everybody start looking at each other. You know that everything was taken. They start crying. When they couldn't cry no more, And then they began to look at David. And you know what they were thinking? He is the culprit. He is the one. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But look at this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the word their encouragement to inspire with hope, with courage, with confidence, to give support, to stimulate. You know what this tells me? When David asked for the ephod, when everybody's talking about killing him, and he began to pray, the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. That tells me one thing. He was listening to God, speaking to him. You know what? God is the best motivational speaker there is. If you give him an ear, he'll motivate you. He will inspire you. I don't care how bad it look in your life. I don't care how rotten, how... You know, sometimes I go driving in places, you know, those new areas they have, they say dead end. I always think about that. God can resurrect every dead end in my life. If I listen to him. If we listen to God, I tell you, he says nothing is impossible with him and nothing is impossible to them that believe. I tell you, when you have nobody to put his arm around you and say, you know, people call you to pray, that all that is good, but what happens? You can find nobody. Are you going to blow your brains? Are you going to pull out the pill? You're going to go to do all the things? Then what is the time that we're going to grow up? There comes a time that we all need to grow up, did you know? Because either the promises of God are yes and amen, like it said in the Bible, or they're not. Then we're serving a God that is not true. But I know that in spite of what's going on in my life, the Word of God is true. And it's eternal. And it cannot fail. Amen. Right. But if I, you know, every time that I give in God my ear, I listen to it, I get inspired. As long, you know, it's like I work in Madigan. I've been there for 27 years. I've been wanting to leave that place from the very first day. And, no, I thank God for that place. I thank God for it. It's a good place to be. But listen, because I'm grateful what done for me there. And I ministered to a lot of people. I've seen a lot of miracles in there. I've seen a lot of things. But you know, time goes on, 27 years. But once in a while, I get the opportunity to minister to somebody. And when I come down from the floors, I always tell the Lord, thank you. As long as I understand, I can endure another day, another week, another year. Because I understand the value of a soul for him. The one that is willing to live 99 for one soul. So I know I'm doing okay. And you know, I have a full-time job. I have a full-time ministry too. To the glory of him.
That's right, amen.
Because I feel the most helpless person. You might not believe it, but it's the truth. God, between God and I know that is the truth, that I'm not lying to you. Because I find out that helplessness, my frustration, my incompetency, I have to rely in his competency. I have to rely in his ability. I have to rely in his love to love you. I have to rely on everything that he is to be who I am in Christ. And God knows that I'm not lying, that I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth I lie on.
Yep.
That's the way he is. Now, there's something about patience, about endurance. I wish I got enough time to share with you about James chapter 1, about 2 Peter chapter 1, about Romans chapter 5. Why? Because James chapter 1 says that the trial of our faith worketh patience. He said, but let patience have a complete work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. You come to that place that Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 5, in which you are content. That means you live independent from the circumstances, dependent only in the one that is all sufficient. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And in Romans chapter 5, it speaks about it. You know that patience worketh. Well, let me read it real quick, because I get frustrated with myself if I misquote things. And I'll be done. I still got 2 minutes. You see, but I know I'm giving you what the Holy Spirit wanted me to give you. I'm not going to go out of here dissatisfied or frustrated with myself like I used to do many years ago. No, not anymore. He says, therefore, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. How many of you glory in tribulation? No, my little fleshly Puerto Rican flesh don't. Well, it must not be talking about my natural being. It's talking about my spiritual being.
Yeah, that's right.
Like James, you know, count it all joy when you fall into that with tribulation and trial. No, my little Puerto Rican hand is not going to rejoice in tribulation. But my spirit can, because my spirit is the one that carries the nature of God. I can agree with God in my walk facing tribulation. Amen. Yeah. He says, and not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing what? That tribulation worketh patience. If we would only understand what patience does to us, we will embrace it every time.
Amen.
We will embrace it every time. I mean, I'm learning. I'm not there yet, but I'm learning. And patience what?
He said, it works. Remember what it says about working out our own salvation? We feel, well, working out our salvation is going to come this endurance, this muscle that will carry us, that will cause us to face anything and everything, no matter how long it is,
right.
We're going to go through it. Because it is not our strength. That's the problem. We're looking for our endurance or our own flesh. It's not the endurance of our flesh. It's the endurance of the nature that we receive from Him, to which nature He is joined to. Remember, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And patient experience. Why? Because once you got through a few things, you got a few notches in your walk with the Lord, guess what? The same one that killed the bear, the same one that killed the lion, is going to deal with your Goliath. That's what experience does. You got these trophies of thanksgiving in your heart. Thank you, God, for what you did yesterday. Today is no different. You were faithful yesterday. You're going to be faithful today. You're going to be faithful tomorrow. You change not.
Right.
And guess what? And experience hope. Man, my goodness. Hope, if that means that what you expect from God, you're not going to be ashamed of Him.
Right.
He's not going to let you down. He'll see you through. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the nature of God has been set up right in our heart by the Holy Ghost that has been given to us. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Forevermore. I wish I got time to go over to 1 Peter, but to 2 Peter. But I tell you, I would that we would embrace
Amen.
This part of us, which is part of our nature.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
To learn to be patient. Because that's where frustration comes. Matter of fact, in the book of Galatians chapter 4, it says, you know where wars comes? It comes from the pleasures that are in your members. From the things that are get awakened in your members. Did you know that if we apply, that if we, I should say, enforce or walk in the realm of the nature that we receive from Him, none of those pleasures will be a problem. He said, the pleasures that, the lust, the desire that war against us, and the word war is soldiering, which is means there's an army that is encamped in the terminals of our flesh that are against us. That's what it says. But you know what it says in the book of 1 Peter? I don't remember exactly what it says. Seeing you have purified your soul by obeying the truth. That means that obedience through endurance purified even the way I think. So I begin to think like God thinks. In Colossians chapter 3, have in mind the things above where Christ seated. Why is that? Because that's what I'm seated together with Him. Is it good for me and for you to think like He thinks so that His will be performed upon this planet?
Amen.
Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning that you continue. You know, when you don't know what to do, keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what it means, be still. Being still is not being without activity.
Right.
It means you're trusting God in the same things you were trusting Him. And hopefully in some more as your faith grows. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, Father. That's all I have for you this morning. I could teach until tomorrow, but well, let that other part of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the pastor and the rest of the teachers. Thank God for my teachers. Father, I thank you. I believe I've done, Father God, faithfully what you gave me with what you have entrusted me. We all can endure, Father. We can get frustrated, Father, but we don't have to take nor the life of others, nor even our own into our hands. We can trust you and leave everything to you. We can roll our cares to you. You handle things better than we do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You are long suffering. And you have given us your nature, and we thank you for that, Father. Please stand up.
Let's go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you again for a wonderful day, time before you, hearing your word. I pray your blessing upon these, your people as they go. Keep each one safe. And Father, that we may return for this evening to hear more from you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.